السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاۃ والسلام علی سیدنا المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers and our sisters listening over receivers, a few days ago there was a program in Johannesburg. I mentioned one or two things which I will repeat here, which is relevant for this occasion. Of course, that was a program with the ulama. I mentioned that one of our very great scholars, he was a giant, well known throughout the world, very, very reputable, well recognized and respected by both the Arab world and the non-Arab world. He was someone that was recognized in America, in Australia, in England. In other words, a personality that was a towering giant of ilm, of taqwa, of knowledge, an author of many, many books. He went to the courts of the kings and addressed them without having any kind of personal motivation or selfish motive, told them whatever he thought was in their best interest. Now you may be wondering who was this, but it was Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadawi Rahmatullah Ali. So he mentioned in a very large congregation of scholars and other Muslims, he said that looking at this large congregation of scholars, of Muslim intellectuals and Muslim leaders and the Muslim Ummah, three words come to mind. And those were the three words which I am going to now explain to you very, very briefly, because there's no time to go into detailed discussion. He also just mentioned it very briefly. Firstly, he said that looking at this kind of a congregation, the first word that comes is Musarrat. He says if you have to look at the Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, then there was great Musarrat, great happiness, great joy and great satisfaction that came into their hearts when there was a census that was taken. He was a very reputable historian also. And he said that one of the censuses was taken immediately after Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and they came to Madina Sharif. So just after a little while, then a census, how many Muslims are there now in Madina Sharif after Hijrah? Well, so it was about 500 in number. That's all. There were 500 in number. After some time again, a census was taken of the population, as we say, of Muslims. So it was 600 to 700. That's all. And the third time it was 1500. And he says that is that stage we term as the Musarrat stage, that extreme happiness and joy and satisfaction. And they said, Alhamdulillah, we are now 1500 people. 1500. They expressed such joy and happiness and satisfaction. And they recall those days when they were all alone, making ibadat in secrecy, in Dar-e-Arqam, and here, and even in the Haram Sharif, when it was impossible to even go and make sajda, when they were beaten up there. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and others were all beaten up in the Haram Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam goes into sajda, intestines of animals placed on the back of the greatest after Allah. we can't even think, we can't even imagine. When we go now with such ease, we make our tawaf and we make our Safa Marwa and with all the air conditioning and all the fans and Zamzam cans and everything else, then we can't even imagine those days, how it must have been. So they said, they recalled those days and they said, Alhamdulillah, we are now 1500 people. That was Musarrat. So looking at the large number of Muslims now, there's Musarrat, that Alhamdulillah, there's 1 billion people. Plus Muslims around the globe, so there's Musarrat. If you look at the scholars, there's so many. If you look at the ulama, look at the mashayikh. If you look at Huffaz, I'm just explaining to you that word. If you look at the Huffaz and Kiram, leave all other countries of the world, take our own country. Go back to the 50s, 60s, and even in the 70s, where did we have a Darul Uloom? Not one Darul Uloom in our country. When it came to Tabligh and Dawah in 62, when it was, or 62 December, I mentioned these many places recently. All these years we used to keep quiet. But because of the misunderstanding of people, that in the 62 December with Haji Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Alayh, when we started the first Gush, there was a big program that took place in Grey Street Masjid when he arrived. There was an announcement, Haji Ghulam Muhammad Padia Sahab arrived from South Africa, from overseas. He was not an alim, but they put on the board there. And there was a big crowd. And there were only 3 people that responded to his call for help in this work. One was his late father-in-law. It was one elderly person from Stanger. And it was this young person at that time, 17 years of age. People asked me that, what are you going to help him? I said, I don't know myself. I didn't even understand the Urdu that he spoke. But I'm going to ask him now. But if somebody has to say that, please help me, then we must ask him, what help do you need? Any case, it's a long story, but what I'm saying is at that time, if you have to look at, there's not much madaris, no Darul Ulooms, no work of Tabligh and Dawah. There were a few organizations here and there, anjumans and societies that were doing some kind of dini propagation activities. But we are talking about the large number that are now occupied in some field of work of deen. We find so many masajid, so many madaris. Take our area of Overport itself. Look at the number of masajid now. And look at the time. There's nothing around here except 1 or 2. So the musarrat, that it has increased in number. The Muslims have increased in number. Throughout the globe they have increased in number. So the sahaba kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, when they were just 1500, they said with great satisfaction, Alhamdulillah. And it was out of those same people that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam took 313 and went to Badr. We know that he didn't go there for battle and war, so there was no preparation for battle. It was just to capture that caravan which was merchandise of which was going to be sold and used for against the Muslims. But it ended up in a very, very decisive battle. And that is the place where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the way he engaged in dua, that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu had to tell him, enough, Ya Rasulullah sallam, it has been accepted. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam pleading and begging to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, oh Allah, if this little group that is with me now has to be destroyed, there will be nobody left in the world to even make your ibadat. Now of course Allah ta'ala was not dependent on that group, and it was not a question that Allah ta'ala could not have sent another group to make ibadat, but showing the concern of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. These are the way. Some people at the back can't see. Bring your stool here. I'll take it to the corner. Sit on it, but sit on this side. Sit on it. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was his companion. He said, if this small group today has to be destroyed, there'll be nobody left in the world to make your ibadah. That's how it was. So musarrat, if I have to explain that, we can go on and on. Musarrat, happiness. And at what? 1500. And that 313 that went to the battle of Badr, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, read the ahadith, the virtues of those sahabis. What kind of sacrifice they made. And what kind of taqwa levels they must have had. Now it's a totally different chapter. But the expression of happiness was that now, wherever we go, we have got no worry, no fright, no fear. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will help us and Allah is with us. If when we were just isolated here and there, Allah ta'ala helped us and today we are 1500, then why should we worry? That's the kind of satisfaction and contentment there was in their hearts. Then the second word he said is hayrat. That look at those 313 in Badr, or look at those 1500 that were at the time that the third census was taken. But those same people, that small group, slowly with the efforts that they put in, they grew and grew until the time came when they ruled over Spain. We know the Muslim ruled 700 years over Spain. Europe, it was not an easy place to go and convert them to Islam. And not only that, were there any Muslims in Malaysia, were there any Muslims in China, were there any Muslims in India, were there any Muslims in Morocco and Syria, and any Muslims around the globe? But look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, small group. Throughout the world, what kind of iman they must have had, what kind of yaqeen they must have had. And even if they were business people wherever they went, even if they went for business, then what they did was spread Islam. Their honesty, their truthfulness, their charities, their concern and care for others, their selfless sacrifices, completely devoid, no selfishness at all. Only one concern, that these people must get connected with Allah Ta'ala. They had their gaze on no one but Allah Ta'ala. They had no expectations of anybody except Allah Ta'ala. They made use of the means that Allah Ta'ala had created. They went to the bazaars, marketplaces, they did whatever has to be done. But their gaze was solely on the treasures of Allah Ta'ala, that we must draw from His treasures. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had given to them salah, which was to draw from the treasures of Allah Ta'ala. Wherever they were in battles, you will always find them in a very small number in comparison with the opposition. Only in Hunain, when they just mentioned that now we are big in number, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them a temporary defeat, and then of course they were successful again. So hayrat, that what kind of revolution this small band and group that was around Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam brought in the world, not in just Arabia, in the world. They changed not only the languages of the people, they didn't change just the clothing of the people, they changed the whole cultural lifestyle of the people. And those people were extremely happy to accept Islam, because they said, if this is what Islam gives to us, we have got absolutely no problem with Islam. The justice of Islam, the truthfulness, the sharing, the caring, the compassion, the mercy, the kindness. There was no cheating, deceiving and wholesale embezzling of funds and devouring of people's properties and hiding the defects in articles and wholesale missing of salat, neglect of zakat, neglect of fasting, neglect of hajj. People want to say, where are those people that were like the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Why don't we have them produced in our madaris and masajid and khanqas? Where are we going to produce them when we have to spend all our time upon the Muslim community, that please return to Islam, submit yourself totally and wholly. Our whole life has become nothing but fun, enjoyment, pleasure, entertainment and nothing else. And these people, that small band, wherever they went, there was a revolution that they created in the whole society. It's not that they did not marry, it's not they didn't eat, they didn't drink, they didn't enjoy the ni'mats and bounties of Allah Ta'ala. They were bored or they were sulky and gloomy, nothing like that. They were absolutely normal people. But there was a commitment to Islam first. Commitment to Islam. Now this word hayrat, that means surprise, a kind of surprise a person gets. Amazing, as we say. It was amazing that how this little group, and they didn't have the kind of facilities that we have. Today they say there's radios, there's television, there's printing, there's everything that we have at our disposal. Everything. Look at the media. The Muslims can't say that we don't have money. The Muslims cannot say that we don't have the infrastructure. We have everything. How many people are we really able to change and make them get connected with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? So hayrat. So first was musarrat. In that small band they had happiness and joy and satisfaction. That we are 1500. The late Hazrat Majeed Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali, one day at the Nizamuddin, he said, He said, agar mujhe 313 aadmi mil jaye, to main duniya ke andar inqilab paida kar dun. He said, if I get 313, I will bring about a revolution in the world. And that was at a time when hundreds of thousands of people had already participated in the Jamaat activities. And he said, if I get 313, I will bring about a revolution. So Hazrat Maulana Umar Rah, Paralpuri Rahmatullah Alayhi, he was sitting there too. Afterwards he said, Hazrat, we are thousands of us and you are asking for 313. So his words, listen to his words. He said, abhi tak to 100 bhi tayyar nahi hue. Not even 100 we have at present. So what was he talking about? When there were hundreds of thousands, what was he talking about? He was talking about the qualities that was essential in the life of a person who is inviting towards Islam, towards the deen of Allah Ta'ala. And that should be present in every Muslim, because every Muslim was supposed to be an inviter towards the deen of Allah Ta'ala in different fields and different ways. Now those qualities of compassion, mercy, kindness, sincerity, dedication, commitment, ikhlas, tawakkul, yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala, ma'rifat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that qurb and closeness of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that ishq and muhabbat of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam and His sunnats and His way of life. Now he says, where do we get that? Every side we get nothing but complaints. Look at the people, what they are doing. Some people may be just practicing on one part of deen, somebody practices on another section of deen. So therefore, hayrat, he said the second thing was hayrat, that how that small group brought revolution. And thereafter he said, hasrat. He said, looking at this big congregation in which there were great, great scholars, great, great ulama, great, great muftis and intellectuals, and of course many, a large number from the ummah. He says, looking at this large congregation, and even larger congregations than this which we get in Arafat and in Mina and Muzdalifah, and practically throughout the year in Makkah Mukarrama and Madina Tayyiba. He said, when you look at all that now we are more than a billion, but if we have to look at our condition, it's hasrat, it's nadamat, it's shame. We do not know what to say and what to do. That when those people who are just a small band, when they went with their akhlaq and with their manners and with their etiquettes, and with the love and with the compassion and kindness, people just drew in and they were attracted like the honeybee comes to the comb. And today we are distancing. Everybody is distancing. Parents and children distanced. Husbands and wives distanced. Family members distanced. If we have to look at the society at large, I'm not talking about exception. Show me one family including mine. So I'm not excluding myself. Show me one family where we can say that the homes, there's happiness, there's joy, there's satisfaction, there's unity. Between the families, there's satisfaction, happiness and unity. And everybody has got one commitment, and that is that in which way can I do some khidmat and service for Islam. If sometimes the father is very pious, then he is complaining, my son has gone on to drugs and drinks and vices and evils. Sometimes the mother is very pious and she is complaining that the father or her husband, now he's gone into womanizing and drinks and drugs and vices and evils. Sometimes both of them are pious and they are namazis and they are tahajjud guzars, but they're complaining that in my house I've got no peace because my daughter, she is involved with somebody on chit-chat and mix-it lines and he's a non-Muslim person, now they want to get married. Or sometimes they are stuck and glued to the television screen and they're watching all the filth and everything else that comes on. Or the whole society, there is nothing but gambling and drinking and wine and women and sport and all other kinds of activities that you can think of. But that small band of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu ajma'in, which brought a revolution in the societies of the world, we do not even have 313 like that in the entire ummah, including myself. So this is something that we should be pondering over. Life is not a plaything. Jo guzri teri yaad mein zindagi hai, wohi zindagi bas meri zindagi hai. Jo guzri teri yaad mein zindagi hai, wohi zindagi bas meri zindagi hai. Jo ghaflat mein guzri wo kya zindagi hai, wo jeena nahi balki sharmindagi hai. Jo ghaflat mein guzri wo kya zindagi hai, وہ جینا نہیں بلکہ شرمندگی ہے. او اللہ, وچ ایور پارٹ آف مائی لائف واز اسپینٹ ان یور ریمبرنس, میننگ فلفلنگ یور آرڈرز, یور احکام, اینڈ ان دا فلفلمنٹ آف دا کمانڈز آف نبی علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام, دیٹ مینس دا پرسن ول میری, ہی ول رن ہز بزنس, ہی ول ٹریول, ہی ول ڈو ایوری تھنگ, بٹ ہی ول بی اے مسلم فرسٹ اینڈ ایوری تھنگ ایلس آفٹر. He will ask himself a question, where am I at this very moment? Am I in the right place? If that place is a disco, cinema, theater or gambling den, then he will ask himself, with this Muslim name of mine, is this the appropriate place for me to be? If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had to be present here and had to come to know that these are the places that the ummah is, and he is being informed by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in his mubarak grave, of the condition of the ummah, what kind of pain it must be causing to the sensitive heart of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yet we all claim to be ashiks of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. And we are Muslims and we want to fight for our rights as Muslims. Indeed we must fight for our rights as Muslims. But how much of Muslim are we? So that is the first word was musarrat, great amount of happiness. Then it was hayrat, that what kind of inqilab and revolution that small band and that small group brought in the world at large. We are here Muslims today because of that small band that was around Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And then it is hasrat, that we just look at it and we feel ashamed, we feel regret, we feel sorrow. We say, what is the condition? 1 billion and we cannot bring about a change and revolution. So the problem with us is that we all want the world to change, but we do not want ourselves to change. Everybody is thinking of the world at large must change, they must change, they must change. But what about this small body of ours? When will that change come within us? It is easy to bring that change within us. We cannot change the whole world, but we can change ourselves. Does any government force us that you must watch the dirt on the porn sites, or you must watch the television screen with all the rubbish, or you must go to the gambling den, or you must do abortion, or you must go to the prostitute quarters, or you must take drugs? Does any government tell us that? So all those areas, does the government stop us from praying 5 times a day, from fasting in Ramadan, giving zakat, going for hajj? Does the government stop us? So there may be 1 or 2 areas where there may be a little bit of difficulty for us to practice, but the rest of the areas, cannot we all say that, all right, to make my Allah happy and my Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam happy, because at the end of the day, the beneficiaries are going to be ourselves. That peace, that sukoon, that happiness, that contentment, that tranquility, that serenity, that joy and that comfort in the heart, we will be the beneficiaries of that. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq of bringing about a complete revolution and change in my own akhlaq and a'mal and actions and deeds and the ummah at large. Allah Ta'ala must unite the ummah, because that is that hasrat, that they were one band, one group, united body and soul. They had the differences of opinion, but they were united. And that hasrat, that last word, that look at the fragmentation, look at the division, look at the disunity, look at the everything that you can think of. Now whether we put the blame on the ulama, or put the blame on ourselves, or wherever we put the blame, each and every one of us is responsible to, for some extent, for this same disunity and friction and fraction and everything else. To whatever extent we can reduce it, we must reduce it. As far as the divisions and differences of opinion are concerned, and the fight that is carrying on in the papers and the magazines and risalas and everything else, there our duty is that we choose somebody as our mentor and our guide and our leader, if on whom we have absolute confidence that he is not somebody that is motivated by greed or by money or anything else. Choose him and then follow him. Finish. The rest of them, leave it to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And in whichever way we can reduce the tension and pressure and conflict, then we have to do that, because there are challenges that are facing the ummah and we are just so negligent. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala unite the ummah, give everybody hidayat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must make us once again one body and soul. Allah ta'ala must remove the difficulties, hardship, pain, problem and suffering of the ummah around the globe. Wa akhira da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.